Welcome back, everybody. Tell me, you mean today we are up to Daf Yud Tess of Beis 19b, and we are on the bottom of Daf Yud Tess Amud Aleph. The Gemara is now going through the last part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Veshavin Eilu Veilu V'Shitoan in the Chulu." The Mishnah said that even though there's a lot of different machloks in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to when you are and are not allowed to do certain things, when you're going to do them on Friday leading into Shabbos, they both agree that if you put beams on the olive press or on grapes on the wine press, and they are being put in motion on Friday to then go ahead and press out the oil or the wine on Shabbos, then it would be okay. So ask the Gemara, Mishnah, Ku de Gazru Bu Be Shammai. Mishnah, Koros Be Sabar Vigoy Agas de Lo Gazru. So what's the difference between all of these other activities that are mentioned in the Mishnah? And then this last time, this last case of putting the planks on the wine press and the oil press, the olive press, what's the difference? Why would they agree that this would work? So answers the Gemara, Hanach de Iyavid Lu Be Shabbos Mechayiv Chatos. So the ones where Be Shammai made the Gzeira, where he said that's a problem, that's where if you were to do this Melacha on Shabbos, it would be an Isra Midarais, it would be Chayiv Chatos. Gazru Bu Be Shammai Erev Shabbos M'chashecha. So over there, he made these decrees that you shouldn't do things even on Friday leading into Shabbos because we don't want you to violate an Isra Midarais. However, Koros Be Sabad V'Yigulei Agas. But in these situations of the beams of the olive press and of the planks on the wine press, the Iyavid Lu Be Shabbos Lo Mechayiv Chatos, that if it was done on Shabbos, it would not be Chayiv Chatos, Lo Gazru Be Shammai, did not make such a gzera that it would not be a problem. Since these things are already oozing out already, even without your help, so it's only going to be a midi rabbanan because it's going to happen on its own anyway. Now says the Gemara, Man Tana Dechol Midi De Asim Imelo Shapir Dami. So who is the Tana that says that if you're being passive, if you're not doing anything, then it's going to only be an Isser Rabbanan, that it's going to be allowed on Shabbos? Who is the Tana that we can associate with our Mishnah who is holding like this Shita? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, again, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, remember that name. He says that it's Rabbi Yishmael. We should remember that name too. Remember, it's Rabbi Yishmael who says that you are allowed to do this. How do we know this? It's not because there's a Mishnah in Idios. Mishnah says, Ashum Abos Ram Uligos Teriskan Mibod Yom. So we have in this Mishnah, it says if there's chopped garlic or unripe grapes or unripe grain, and you loaded them with the beams on Friday to press out their juices while it's still day on Friday afternoon before Shabbos. So Rabbi Yishmael Omer Yigmor Mishatech Shach, Rabbi Yishmael says, you're allowed to finish this process even if it goes into Shabbos. Since it's already starting to go out on its own, it's already started the process, it's going to be allowed. That's just like our Mishnah. That's the Rabbi Yishmael who says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, top of Yud Tesam and Vez, Lo Yigmor, that you're not allowed to finish this after Shabbos. We do have such a Gzera, so it seems that our Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Yishmael. Now says the Gemara of Rabbi Elazar, Omar, Rabbi Elazar, he. So Rabbi Elazar says that really the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. So it's clearly talking about two different Rabbi Elazars, one Tana, one Amora. So he's saying that it's really the Shita of Rabbi Elazar is the one in our Mishnah who says that you're allowed to do this thing if you'd already started beforehand on Friday. It's going to be fine. How do we know this? Ditnan, Chalos, Tvash, Riska, Me'er, Shabbos, Yatsu, Me'atzma. Because the Mishnah, which is going to be later on by the Sugiz of Slitas Peros on Kufnem Gimel. So the Mishnah tells us that if someone broke up honeycombs before Shabbos and the honey oozed out by itself, usher. So one shita says that it's usher. Tanakama says usher. Rebbe Lazar, Matib Rebbe Lazar says it's going to be okay because it already started oozing out from before Shabbos. It's going to be okay. So that's why Rebbe Lazar is the shita in our Mishnah. So we have two possibilities as to who our Mishnah can be going like, either Rebbe Yishmael or Rebbe Lazar, and we are going to have to figure out why each shita said the way they did and not like the other one. So now says Rebbe Yossi Bar Chanina, my time alo amar ki Rebbe Lazar. So why did Rebbe Yossi Bar Chanina hold of Rebbe Yishmael and say Rebbe Yishmael is the one who is similar to our Mishnah when Rebbe Yishmael was mentioned in the case of the unripe grapes and unripe grain? Why is he the one that was chosen as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, who had this case of the honeycomb? So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Maitam Lo Amar Rabbi Elazar. So why did he not like Rabbi Elazar? Amalach Hasam Hud Meikara Ochel Vasof Ochel. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina would say they're not parallel cases. The case of the honey is where it was food before and it's food after. It's the same thing. However, Hacha Meikara Ochel Vahashta Mashkeh. But in our case of the olive press and the grape press in our Mishnah, it initially starts out as a food, as either an olive or a grape, and then it turns into a liquid, either olive oil or wine, and that's why you can't learn from the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar to our Mishnah that we had with our wine press and olive press. But Rabbi Elazar would say back, the Amora would say back, no, really, it is a good comparison to say Rabbi Elazar Malach. Rabbi Elazar could be the Tana of the Mishnah. Why? Because Hashaminan Leila Rabbi Elazar Dafiuze Siman of Namishar, because we have a different sheet of the Tana Rabbi Elazar who says that even if it goes from food from solid to liquid, it's still going to be okay. Because when Rav Hoshaya came from Narada, he came bringing the following brisa with him, that if there's chopped olives or chopped grapes from before Shabbos and the juices started oozing out by themselves, asurin, so the Tanakhama says it's going to be a problem. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Matir, and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon say that it's going to be okay, even by liquids. So we see that this
Mishnah, our Mishnah, could really be like Rabbi Elazar as well. So then why did Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina say that it had to be Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Braisa lo Shmielu. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, he never saw this Braisa that said that Rabbi Elazar would even apply when it goes from solid to liquid. That's why he had to insist that it has to be that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. But now we have to ask the other way around. Rabbi Elazar, my time alone, Mark Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So why did Rabbi Elazar insist that it has to be coming from his Shita with the honeycomb case? Why couldn't he hold like Rabbi Shmuel, who brings the proof from the case of the unripe grape and the unripened grain? So says the Gemara, Amar Lach, Rabbi Elazar would say back to you, Lavit Mar Allah, do we not have the following Mishnah that says, Amar Rav Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'mechusarin Dicha Dekoy Amma Lo Pligi, Ki Pligi M'chusarin Shlika. So in order to understand this, we need a little bit of background. There's three stages of crushing. There's risuk, number one, meducha, or dicha, number two, and then shlika, number three. So says the Gemara, the case of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, what they were arguing about was a case when the first two stages of this crushing was done, but the third one was not. But the case where we are mentioning in our Mishnah is only a case when the first one was done, but the other two were not yet done. So they're two totally separate cases. So it can't be that we're going to bring one proof from the other. But now says the Gemara, Ho Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Ki Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina ruled, actually like Rabbi Yishmael, that you are allowed to continue doing these things even into Shabbos once the stuff has started oozing out on its own. You're allowed to continue the process. It can go on its own even through Shabbos, and you're allowed to use the stuff. Once we started talking about Aleph Press on Shabbos, the Gemara goes on to other machloksim regarding oil of the olive press on Shabbos. So shemen shel badadun machtzalos shel badadun. So the oil of the olive presser, so the extra oil that's there, and the mats of the olive press, which they used to cover it. So Rav Asaru Shmuel Shari. So Rav says it's going to be usher to move them on Shabbos, and Shmuel says it's going to be allowed to. This is the first that we're seeing of the issue of muktzah. This is using stuff that wasn't designated on Shabbos. A lot of different types of muktzah. We're going to have to discuss this as the Masechta goes on, but this is a machlokes as to whether muktzah would apply in these cases. Now we have a similar machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Hane karche dezuze. So these paired mats that are used for covering ship's cargo. Rav Asaru Shmuel Shari. So Rav says it's going to be Asar. Shmuel says it's going to be okay. Machlokas, what exactly the muktzah would be here, but it seems to be a muktzah discussion as well. Another machlokas. Amar Rav Nachman, Eiz l'chalava v'racha l'gizasa. V'tarnegolas l'beitzasa v'tori deridya v'tamre de'iska. Rav Asaru Shmuel Amar Mutter. So all of these different types of animals, either a goat that's meant for its milk, or a sheep that's meant for its wool, or a hen that's meant for its eggs, or a plow, oxen, ox that's used to plow, and dates that are used for business purposes. So Rav says these things are usher to be used on Yontif, and Shmuel says that they are allowed to be moved on Yontif. What would be the issue? These things are clearly not going to be used for Shlita. Generally on Yontif, we know Ochel Nefesh. If you're going to have an animal that's going to be used for Shlita, then it would be allowed. But if it's just an animal that's used for other stuff, then it's going to be Muksa, just like it would be Muksa on Shabbos. So Rav says that these things are going to be usher because you're clearly not going to do them for Shlita. Shmuel says that you would be allowed to move them, again, a Muksa discussion in terms of what you are and are not allowed to move on Shabbos. And this is going to be a machlokas that permeates Mesech Shabbos, Mesech Beitza. Anytime we talk about muktzah, it's this machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say there is muktzah. Rabbi Shimon says there is no concept of muktzah. But the Rishonim all point out, when we say that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of muktzah, it just means he holds there's less types of muktzah or less applications of muktzah. We hold like Rabbi Shimon, and still there are many different types of muktzah, so it's important to understand where this machlokas is coming from. It's just talking about less parts of muktzah. So Rav, who says that muktzah is always existing, he's associated with Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel is more on the team of Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to have to understand this as we go forward in the Masechta. Now the Gemara has some story. There was a certain rabbinical student who was ruling on a case in Charta Da'argiz, and he said, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, who was lenient when it came to matters of muktzah. Shamtei Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna put him in excommunication. Why are you excommunicating him? We hold like Rabbi Shimon. Answers the Gemara, but Asrei d'Rav Hava. No, it was in the place of Rav where we would be Machmir. Rav was Machmir, and this was in his town, and he should have been Machmir there. So the student who ruled against Rav, he shouldn't have done so in his own town. Now the Gemara has a different story about certain rabbinical students. So Hane Trey Talmide, there were two rabbinical students who were at a house that caught on fire on Shabbos. One salvaged only one food and drink that was in one container, and the other salvaged the 4 or 5 days worth or meals worth of food. They come to be booked to Rav Barzav de Ravuna, and they were really disagreeing about a machlokas that we are going to see later on. The machlokas comes up later in the Masechta between Rav Barzavta and Rav Huna about what you are and are not allowed to save when there's a burning house, assuming there's no sakana there, what you're allowed to move on Shabbos, and we will see that as we go on in the Masechta. This is Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.